If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, and we'll continue in our series, the first of this year, looking at the parables of Jesus. And so the title of our series for the next 10 weeks is The Stories Jesus Told. Earthly stories with heavenly meanings. And we started off last week actually talking a little bit about what a parable is, and looked at the parable of the soils. And this week we're moving on to two other parables, and we're combining them into one message, and I think you'll see why by the time we're through to this morning. I'm not going to keep you here that long. So the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of leaven. And so there in Matthew chapter 13 and beginning in verse 31, the Bible says, "Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Another parable he spoke to them, The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened." This morning we're going to talk about the need for kingdom perspective and do so by looking at kingdom principles for living. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I pray now that you would speak to our hearts as we dig into your truth, and Lord, that we would hear from you in this place today, and that we would understand the need that we have for a kingdom perspective on life and the world in which we live. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So on Facebook, I actually a few weeks ago recommended some devotionals, and one of those devotionals is entitled A Minute of Margin. And in that devotional, there's an excerpt that I wanted to begin with this morning, and it begins with William Law, who was an 18th century British theologian. He said, "If you attempt to talk with a dying man about sports or business, he is no longer interested. He now sees other things as more important. People who are dying recognize what we often forget, that we are standing on the brink of another world. The skies were partly cloudy. The temperature was 68 degrees. The wind was out of the west at 10 miles per hour. A beautiful day. At 8:45 a.m., people working on the 103rd floor were pouring their morning coffee, talking with each other, rearranging their desk and getting ready for work, glancing at the harbor. 1 minute later, none of that mattered. 20 floors below, a 757 transected the building, leaving the 103rd floor cut off, trapped, and hopeless, but not yet dead." Of course, you know I'm referring to the events that took place on 9/11. When you have 10 minutes to live, what are your thoughts? What is important in the last seconds? Seeing death from this perspective is not morbid. On the contrary, it can help us see life better. I want to talk to you this morning about having a kingdom perspective. How it is you view life and the world in which you live. Really, this has to do with having a biblical worldview. We all have great need for allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our minds so that we can think rightly, so that we can, so that we are given the right perspective. The Bible will change the way that we think, and therefore, it will change the way that we live. When we encounter God in this lifetime and we are changed by His amazing grace, we come to understand the truth, and the truth by its very nature transforms our lives, transforms our thinking. In fact, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says this about the Bible. For the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The power of the Word of God to change lives and transform our thinking cannot be overestimated. If you don't take anything else away this morning, take this away. This should influence, impact. This should determine the way you think about life lived in this world and the way that you go about relating to others. Other places, the Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. Romans tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The bottom line is Christ followers have a different mindset than the rest of the world. Indeed, it is the very mind of Christ, according to Philippians, that we are to have. Now, when we are under the control of the Spirit of God and under the authority of the Word of God with the mind of Christ, one does not think the same as the world thinks about social issues. One does not think the same way the world thinks about political issues. One does not think the same way the world thinks about philosophical issues or scientific issues or even religious issues. Filled with the Holy Spirit of God under the authority of the Word of God with the mind of Christ, we don't think like the world thinks. We have a different perspective on life. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, that we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And so we have dual citizenship. We're citizens of the kingdom of God. We're also citizens here on the earth. But we are to live on the earth by kingdom principles. While living in this sinful world, we need to do so according to kingdom principles. And so this morning, we're going to locate some of those kingdom principles in these two parables that we have identified. The parable of the mustard seed and the parable of leaven. Kingdom principle number one. Value is not found in what we possess, but in what we do with what we possess. Value is not found in what we possess, but in what we do with what we possess. And you'll notice these kingdom principles this morning. Some of you will recognize them as not only being taught in this passage, but all throughout Scripture. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31, it says this: another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Now, there is no thought of this mustard seed reaching its full potential unless the farmer plants it in the ground. The value is not in the farmer possessing the seed, but doing what is right with the seed. Unused seed, unplanted seed, is useless. It is unproductive. productive. It cannot yield fruit. It cannot reach its full potential. Even if it's kept dry and kept safe, even if great precaution has been taken to preserve the seed, it yields nothing until the farmer does what he's supposed to do with the seed. You see, possessing the seed and storing the seed and keeping it safe and secure is not the point of the parable at all. And when we work to preserve and hold on to what we have, rather than using it for God's glory, we become unproductive citizens in the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15 is a story about the rich young fool, another parable. There's a verse in there that says, "And he said to them," Jesus, "take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses." Yes, this is a matter of stewardship, but not just of material blessings. Listen carefully. The picture of the mustard seed placed on the shelf and protected from a harsh environment is a picture of an unlived life. Someone has said the most tragic thing in this world is not death, but a life that is unlived. You see, there's an element of risk and loss involved in what the farmer does. He has to take the seed and put it in the ground where he can no longer see it and protect it and wait for it to spring forth in life. But until he takes that risk of loss, he'll never see the fruit. And that's true of me and you. We have to use what God has given us in order to be fruitful in this lifetime. The seed on the shelf, the unplanted seed, represents an unrealized faith, one that does not work, and thus no activity for the kingdom of God of lasting value comes from that type of life. Value is not found in what we possess, but in what we do with what we possess. Now, that means materially. That means knowledge. You can know a lot and not do anything with what you know. That means our ability, our talent, our relationships, opportunity. Some of you are afraid to take the opportunity that's in front of you right now. You're fearful of what it might cost you or where it might lead. And yet, it's exactly the direction God wants you to walk in so that you can experience Him in a very powerful and abundant way. Value is not found in what we possess, but in what we do with what we possess. Kingdom principle number two. Little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. Let's just read verse 31 and 32 again. "Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." One of the most obvious things about this parable is the object lesson being taught with the mustard seed. The seed itself, some of you have seen them, seen mustard seed, it oftentimes resembles a speck of dust. And It is the smallest object that could have come to the Middle Eastern mind. And that's the point. Jesus is causing their minds to think about something extremely small, even the smallest that they could possibly think of, which would be a mustard seed. In and of itself, it is insignificant and of no consequence. But when it's planted, Jesus says, it's an herb, but this particular herb, this particular seed, will grow into a large tree. From a speck of dust to a towering tree, scholars say it could average from 8 to 12 feet tall and be 3 to 4 inches thick. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which helps us to understand this morning that bigger is not always better. Helps us to understand this morning that small does not always mean weak and insignificant. In fact, little is much when God is in it. Jesus uses an unlikely object to demonstrate great power. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27 says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." You see, in the kingdom of God, different principles are at work. And less is much when God is in it. I remember, and maybe you do too, when you were a young child in elementary school. We loved to go out to recess. In recess, one of the things we did was play kickball. We played a lot of different things, but we played kickball. And so we'd all show up right there on what we could see it with our eyes, a field, but there was no field there, right? A stick here for first base and, you know, those kind of things. But before we played, we had to pick teams. And so first of all, we'd fight over who the team captains were, and after that was over, we'd start picking teams. And we would pick, who would we pick first? The biggest, fastest, strongest. That's what we'd do. Who would be picked last? And how would they feel about being picked last? They wouldn't feel too good about it, would they? They wouldn't feel good about it at all. And that is really a picture of the way American society works. It's a picture of the way that things go in our world today. But I have to believe, according to what the Bible is saying, that God chooses His players differently. He chooses them much differently. God chooses people the world dismisses as insignificant. In the kingdom of God, principles are different. God's economy works differently than the world's. American culture is saturated with the ideas of celebrity, with the ideas of reputation, with the ideas of making it big, with the ideas of good looks, with the ideas of being bigger, stronger, faster, prettier, more, and more. But consider the mustard seed. The smallest object that could come to the Jewish mind. Some of you may have heard of D.L. Moody, great preacher of yesteryear. When D.L. Moody was starting in the ministry, he heard a preacher say these words, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man who is fully surrendered to Him." And as a young man, D.L. Moody said, "By God's grace, I'll be that man." It's said that Moody shook two continents with his preaching, won over a million souls to Christ throughout his lifetime. He had very little education and was not a polished preacher, but But. That's a great word in the Bible, by the way. God greatly used his life. It wasn't on the shelf. It was made available in surrender to the Lord. Kingdom principle number two, little is much when God is in it. And kingdom principle number three, making a notable impact in this world and the kingdom of God begins with unseen influence. There in verse 33, the parable of leaven. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. The kingdom of God is like leaven, Jesus says, which in those days didn't come in a package that you buy at the store like we do today. It was infected dough that was stored, but it was stored and kept away from all other meal because anything it touched, it would infect. And so there was infected dough. It was leavened dough that was set aside for when the time was right to use it. We know, very simply, that leaven is what makes bread rise. It's a substance, typically yeast, added to the dough to make it ferment and rise. The influence of the leaven on dough is viral. It exerts secret power over the flour and the meal. I can't say that I've ever made bread. I do like to cook, but I can't say that I've ever made bread. But I did look up a recipe for it. And here's what step number one said. Dissolve yeast in warm water. That was step number one. Well, when yeast is dissolved in warm water, you no longer can see it. But it is there. Remember, making a visible impact in the kingdom of God begins with unseen influence. What happens when that yeast that has been dissolved in that warm water is mixed with flour and salt and other things that you make bread with? Well, it permeates all of the dough. And what happens when you leave it alone for a little while, when you come back in the kitchen? See, I don't make it, but I know what this looks like, and I'm excited when I see it start rising because it's usually pretty good to eat. The yeast you could not see has permeated the entire mixture and radically changed the dough. Remember, it's invisible. It's not able to be seen. And guess what else? It's quiet. You don't necessarily hear it, do you? It's almost secret. And yet, though you can't see it and you can't hear it, you can obviously observe the results of it. You can see how it has actually been working. While the mustard seed speaks to the outward growth in the kingdom of God, leaven speaks to the inward influence, creating change and spreading. Just as leaven has the power to change the dough, the gospel of the kingdom has the power to change the world. And you can see in your Bibles, you can begin in the book of Acts. Really, you can begin in the Gospels and see the life of Christ and then his death and burial and resurrection. And the gospel began to be shared and souls began to be saved. And 3,000 people were saved and baptized on the day of Pentecost. It began small, but it has spread all over the planet today. That's an example of this leaven and the way it works. Gives life to the lifeless, hope to the hopeless. It is infectious and influential, but maybe not in the way the world understands influential. The greatest gospel impact, occurs right here within us. The gospel of Jesus Christ, when we hear it, and it begins to work in our hearts and our minds, and we believe in Jesus, we become a new creature created for good works that He prepared beforehand. That's the greatest gospel influence is within. This parable of the leaven really speaks to the way the kingdom of God works. Sometimes we think in our world, in our society, that the greatest influence is big, and the greatest influence is loud, and the greatest influence is demonstrative, and maybe even scary or intimidating, over the top. But when thinking about the way the kingdom of God spreads and influences, Jesus, in a parable, uses leaven to describe the ability of the gospel to influence everything that it touches. It kind of reminds me of a spark that starts a fire. You can hear a fire once it gets roaring, but when it starts, it's pretty quiet and it's a small flame. And James even talks about how it grows into a great fire. It reminds me of snow. I'm kind of weird sometimes, and when it starts snowing, I'll step outside and I'll say to my family, "Listen, do you hear it snowing?" And what you hear is nothing, right? Because it's so quiet. But it's almost so quiet that you can hear it. You see it falling, and you don't hear anything. But by the end of the day, you're out shoveling. And the reason is, it's had a major influence on your life that day. It's made a big impact on you as far as moving forward that day. Here's what we learn, again, from these parables. Value is not found in what a person possesses, but in the way that person uses those possessions. Little is much when God is in it. Don't think that you've got to be the biggest and the brightest and the best to be used by God. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't give your best. It just means little is much when God is in it. And if you read your Bible, you'll see where He used the least likely characters of all to impact the world. And then making a notable impact in the kingdom of God begins with unseen influence. There's a few more principles here that I didn't develop because I didn't want to spend too much time here this morning going into the afternoon. But let me close with those ideas. In verse 32 it says, "Which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." So when the seed is planted and is able to develop to its full potential, the kingdom of God, those around us benefit as well. Even those who are not yet saved are blessed by your presence in their lives because you, as a child of God, are blessed by Him. In other words, there are people in this lifetime who will experience the blessings of God and never be saved because they experience them indirectly through you. Just as the birds benefited from the tree that grew from the seed. You never know what your influence or who your influence might bless or help or convince to come into the kingdom of God. And then the last one has to do with the parable 11, which tells us, and notice how Jesus uses in the first parable, he refers to a man who took and sowed his field. And in verse 33, he refers to a woman. Can I tell you that there is no prejudice when it comes to men and women working together in the kingdom of God? That women are just as valuable to the kingdom as men. Now, I guess I feel like I ought to say a little word about all the marches that took place yesterday, the women's marches. That's not what I'm talking about when I talk about the value of women. God places value on women in our society. Jesus saw them as equal to men and always has. Yesterday's marches were another example of the principles of this world at work, not the principles of the kingdom. So just keep that in mind, that the Bible, in God's economy, men, women, boys, and girls are used for His glory and His honor. We have stories in the New Testament when little children were used by God. We have stories in the New Testament by when God used women in the kingdom of God and when He used men in the kingdom of God. And so this would have been something that He was stating and they would have paid attention to, because there's a parable being told about the kingdom of God and there is a reference to the woman who is putting the leaven in the flour. I want you to remember as we leave today, the way that we should think about the world and this life is much different than what you're hearing on the television. It's much different than what you're reading in the magazines. It's much different than the influence, children, that you are getting at school. The principles of the kingdom of God are at work on God's people. And we will never, as long as we understand this as our authority, think like the world teaches us to think. You got to know, this is countercultural. Rarely, if ever, does what the world system is putting out there line up with what is in here. And as we mentioned last week, you can't have it both ways. It's one way or the other. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for kingdom principles that you make so clear to us, so that we are able to understand how to think differently than what the world is impressing upon us. And Lord, I'm reminded of the scripture that says, "Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And we know that 24/7 there is an impression trying to be made on us by Satan and by secular society. And the only way that we can think differently is to allow your Holy Spirit to work in us and your word to penetrate our hearts and our minds. God calls us to think differently because of the grace and the mercy that you have extended to us on the cross of Calvary. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together for a time of decision. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you'd like to. Well, we'd have no greater joy in our church family than to see that happen, than to see you come and make a decision to trust Christ for salvation. And And maybe today after service that you'll want to come take one of us by the hand and say, you know, I want to be saved. I want to know more about how to place my faith in Jesus and be a part of His family. Many here would love to sit with you and tell you how that you can do that. I'll be down front, and you can come take me by the hand and say, I need to be saved. Pastor Bill will be in the back. Maybe you're here this morning, God's spoken to your heart in some other way about kingdom perspective, about having those principles in our lives that cause us to think differently about what we see and what we hear. Don't be duped. Don't fall into believing everything you hear and see on the television and you read in the magazines. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. God spoke into your heart this morning. Would you just be obedient? The altar's open. You can pray right where you are. You just respond to God. Say, God, I heard you this morning, and I have always felt like I was the least. But from what your word says, you picked your players on your team differently, and I want to play. God's spoken to you this morning. You respond. You pray. You sing. Lift your hearts to the Lord.